bet. Hey, man. Already. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen again. Amen. King David, he said in Psalms 122, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. A warm welcome to all who are in attendance, especially all first-time visitors. I just want you to know that you are our honored guests, and we hope to meet you at the worship service so that we can get acquainted. Amen. The saints here at Central Church of Christ continue to strive to see the world as Jesus saw it, love the world as Jesus loved it, and serve the world as Jesus served it. Amen. And this, in fact, aligns with the Holy Bible, the Holy Scriptures. If you could turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 14, and I'll go ahead and I'll read it for you. It says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Amen. I would like to take this time right now to just thank all the brothers for leading in the worship service on this morning. I want to thank our brother John for the announcements. Also, I want to thank brother Rob for leading the hymns of praise on this morning. Also, I'd like to thank our brother Eric for reading the scripture into our hearing. Also, I want to thank brother Scott for the main prayer, the shepherd's prayer on this morning. Last but not least, thank you, Brother Joel, for preparing our hearts and minds for taking the communion, the Lord's Supper, on this morning. Amen. And now, by the grace of God, with all humility and boldness, I have an opportunity to share a portion of God's holy and divine word with you on this morning. Amen. Amen. Now, last week, we had Brother David Bailey. He shared a great lesson, and it was titled, Who is My Neighbor? And it was coming from Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. And there was a central theme. The central theme was centered around getting out of our comfort zones, getting out of our comfort zones. Now, Brother Bailey, he addressed the transition that this congregation is currently facing while also encouraging the body that meets here at Central to remain steadfast, remain vigilant and prayerful and ready to move outside of the comfort zone. Amen. You see, the epitome of walking by faith is, in fact, stepping outside of our comfort zones. Amen. Keep in mind that as you do so, as you take each step, you can do it with the confidence in knowing that God is still in control. Amen. God still sits on the throne. God promised in his word that he would never leave nor forsake us. And therefore, we can count on him without any doubts because it is impossible for God to lie. Amen. It's impossible for him to lie. God has done more for us than we could ever do for one another. Amen. And God, with his great love, gave his only begotten son to the world. Jesus died so that we might live. And as Christ rose from the grave, we rose also with him, new creatures, set apart for his glory. Amen? Amen. Now, the Apostle Paul, he wrote in Romans chapter 12, verses 1, and you can turn there with me. Romans chapter 12, verses 1, it reads, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And considering this reasonable request from God, today's lesson is titled Reasonable Service to Our Families. Amen. Now let's get right into the Word of God, and at the conclusion of today's lesson, we'll be able to identify what reasonable service is to our families according to Scripture. Amen. And I pray that this lesson, this message, blesses you, your family, And I also pray that it is edifying all in the name of the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 18, verses 16 through 19. Genesis 18, verses 16 through 19. Emphasis on verses 19. And the questions that I would like for you to consider, I may have to, that makes a difference. I have to make sure it's on. And the questions that I would ask that everyone consider on this morning are the following. What does reasonable service mean? Well, what does reasonable service mean? Also, how can I demonstrate reasonable service towards my family? And is it unreasonable? Why is our reasonable service necessary? Amen. Why is our reasonable service necessary? And if you could, would you please be able to stand as we read God's holy and divine word once more? Amen. Amen. The Holy Bible reads, Genesis chapter 18, verses 16 through 19. Then the men got up from there and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham walked with them to send them on the way. The Lord said, "Shall I keep secret from Abraham, my friend and servant, what I am going to do, since Abraham is destined to become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him? For I have known, chosen, and acknowledged him as my own, so that he may teach and command his children and the sons of his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is righteous and just, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has promised." You may be seated. Amen. May the Lord add a choice blessing to all who read and obey his holy word. Amen. Amen. So we'll go line by line, making sure that we dissect God's word. Amen. Amen. In the first book of Moses, we can see in chapter 18, verses 16, that it mentions the men getting up from where they were, which was Abraham's tent, and looked towards Sodom. And Abraham walked with these men as a way to show his guests hospitality for their visit. Amen. He was being hospitable. Now, these three men, as mentioned in previous verses within chapter 18, appear to him, and Abraham, he graciously offers these men a place to stay. He asked his wife Sarah to prepare a meal for them. Also, he offered them an opportunity to wash their feet. Last but not least, he even offered them rest. Amen. That's better than some hotel accommodations. Amen, if you ask me. Better than Best Western, better than Marriott, better than the Hilton. Amen. Now, after the meal, it was apparent that Abraham had recognized that one of the men was actually the Lord in human form. Amen. It was confirmed in verses 9 and 10 that he was indeed the Lord when the man reassures Sarah of the promise of bearing a son in a year's time. And the scripture tells us in verses number 12 that Sarah laughed within herself about the possibility of having a child considering her old age. The Lord heard the laughter from Sarah and addressed Abraham. Catch that. He heard the laughter from Sarah, but then he looked and addressed Abraham. Sarah laughed within, and the Lord spoke to Abraham and asked in verses 13, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of surety bear a child which am old? The Lord replied in verses 14 and asked, and this was a rhetorical question, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Verses 15. Sarah denies laughing because she was afraid, and the Lord said, "Nay, but you did laugh." You did laugh, Sarah. You ain't got to lie. You don't have to lie. I heard you. I'm the Lord. I heard everything. Amen. Amen. So as we look to answer the first question on this morning, what does reasonable service truly mean? What does reasonable service truly mean? The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verses 1, and you can turn there if you would in your holy Bibles. Romans chapter 12, verses 1, amen. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verses 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." The inspired writer Paul, writing to the believers in the city of Rome, encourages these Christians to give their bodies as a living sacrifice unto God. Now, the city of Rome, it actually comprised of a very diverse audience, amen. I mean, it was a diverse community, amen. And in the community, there were both Jewish and Gentile believers. Amen. The Apostle Paul, being filled with the Holy Spirit, he encourages them to give their bodies as a living sacrifice unto God. And the emphasis is not on the individual backgrounds or the cultural differences that could be seen between these Christians, but rather on the shared identity that these Christians had through Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul understood that by doing so, by encouraging fellow believers to give their bodies as a living sacrifice, by doing so, this was a spiritual act of worship. Amen. And by definition, reasonable service is an act of service done with a willing and voluntary attitude. Reasonable service is the rational, the sensible, the logical, or practical spirit-empowered service guided by faith. Amen. Notice within the definition of reasonable service, there is no mention of what is sacrificed. No mention of what is sacrificed. Amen. And as Christians, as children of God, it's good to be reminded that serving God, serving Jesus Christ of Nazareth, it will cost you. And this cost is a daily cost. Amen. Everyone has something that they must give up, and God already knows where you stand at this very moment. God is watching the choices that you and I make and the attitude that you and I have towards serving Him, serving others, as well as our families. So when considering what reasonable service truly means, recognize that by design it is meant to be transformative. Amen. There's a transformation that takes place inside of each and every born-again believer as he or she responds to God's mercy. The Apostle Paul goes on to share with the Christians in Rome to reject conforming to the patterns of the world and be renewed in their minds as they live for the Lord. And that's Romans 12, verses 2. But what does this mean for us today, church? What does this mean for us today? Well, this means intentionally choosing to live for Christ each day. This means dying to self and yielding to God. This means embracing the mercy that God has shown us and be willing to respond with the mindset of Christ. This also means learning how to be devoted to God, fully trusting His plan and His will, and be willing to diligently seek Him through prayer. 1 John chapter 5, verses 3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." Love God like no one else. Love your neighbor as yourself. These commandments are not meant to be burdensome. These commandments are not meant to be difficult, but if they are, be sure to stay connected through Christ with a genuine heart of obedience, and not a heart out of obligation, but a heart out of faith in the love that Christ has shown us. God, through His Holy Spirit, is teaching us how to love through Christ Jesus. We are all learning this kind of love daily. There's a healthy way to provide a reasonable service to our families that can enhance the quality of our life as well as each unique relationship therein. As we continue through the lesson text, verses 17, the Lord said, "Shall I keep secret from Abraham, my friend and servant, what I am going to do?" Here we read that the Lord is asking Himself a question. The Lord is doing this to reveal to us a glimpse of the way that He thinks. The Lord is showing His character. The Lord is already aware of what He will and what He will not do. Amen. Make no mistake about it. In verse 17, the Lord is not asking this question because He is unsure of Himself. To be clear, the Lord is granting us access into the way that He thinks. The Lord wants to reveal to Abraham His plans for Sodom. Even today, as born-again believers, as we provide a reasonable service to our families, the Lord wants to reveal to you and me the plans that he has for our lives. Now, here's a disclaimer. Here is a disclaimer. I want to make sure that I put this out there. If you are not a born-again believer, you have no hope outside of Christ. I'm going to say that again. Disclaimer. If you are not a born-again believer, you have no hope outside of Christ. Some may think that that's a harsh thing to say, but it's the truth. And I'm saying it out of love. The truth seems controversial to the world. But as we read in John chapter 3, verses 18, whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Let me clarify for a moment. You can choose to follow Christ by obeying the gospel truth in its entirety. Or you can remain in your sin. Some people in the world use phrases like, it's better to be with the devil you know than the devil that you don't. But as far as I know, the devil is not your friend. And ultimately, that way of thinking can keep an individual right where they are, paralyzed by their fears, and in some cases, spiritually lame. But the point is, sometimes you can hear things and put your faith into it because it sounds good. But just because something sounds good doesn't make it sound doctrine. Amen? Amen. This way of thinking keeps people inside their comfort zones, and it promotes a mindset for individuals to stick to what they already know, even if it has no biblical foundation. But let me be sure to reassure you that God is good. Amen. God is so good. The fact that this can be proven 1,000 times over within his holy Bible, we can see that his tender mercies endures forever, not because I say it. But because God has said it in his word, and that's enough. Amen. God cannot lie, and the scripture says his word shall not return to him void, because it will fulfill that which he pleases, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto he sent it. And the reference scripture for that is Isaiah chapter 55, verses 11. Amen. As we continue to answer the second question, how can I demonstrate reasonable service towards my family? How can I demonstrate reasonable service to my family? Well, by showing self-control even when there's discomfort. By being kind and gracious towards your loved ones. By showing love to those in your family that are hard to love. Find ways to model patience even when situations become frustrating. Keeping and instilling peace when it seems as though things are full of turmoil all around. Still having joy even when you've experienced heartbreak, when you've experienced loss and disappointments. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. If you would turn there with me, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, become imitators of God, copying him and following his example, as well-beloved children, imitating their father, and walk continually in love, that is, value one another, practice empathy and compassion, unselfishly seeking the best for others, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and sacrifice to God, slain for you, so that it became a sweet fragrance, a sweet smelling aroma. As mentioned earlier, when it comes to reasonable service, you must give up something. You must give up something. It begins with the three amigos who often do their best to represent you. Their names are ego, pride, and arrogance. Wait. Forgive me, you may not know them by these names. How about I get to the root names? Me, myself, and I? Ego is self-importance. Pride is satisfaction from achievements or possessions. Arrogance is to overbear in a superior manner towards others. To be able to demonstrate reasonable service towards our family, it takes guidance of the Holy Spirit by faith. It takes being rooted in the love of Jesus Christ. And it also requires us giving up ourselves in a reasonable way, imitating the selfless pattern that Jesus demonstrates on the cross at Calvary. It means dying to ourselves daily. It also means that although following Christ presents his challenging, although following Christ invites persecution, although following Christ causes us to be uncomfortable, recognize that our Heavenly Father, out of his great love, sent his only begotten Son, the suffering servant, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He laid down his life for us. He took on the sins of the entire world so that we might, through him, live a life that honors him through unwavering faith and devotion. As we continue with the lesson text on this morning, verses 18, it says, since Abraham is destined to become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him. Again, he's continuing the question. Here we see the Lord further revealing his character and the way that he thinks. The Lord made a promise to Abraham in chapter 17 and revealed to him, Abraham, that he would become a great nation through his children. The Lord said to Abraham, thou shalt be a father of many nations. The Lord even changed Abram's name to Abraham. Amen. In chapter 17, the Lord made an everlasting covenant with Abraham and his seed. Now, the Lord did not want to hide his plans for Sodom and Gomorrah from Abraham. The Lord did not want to keep it a secret from Abraham. And there is a significant reason for this. Don't miss it, church. Again, the Lord wanted to show Abraham his plans to further reveal his nature, reveal his integrity, to reveal his trustworthiness, amen, as a father, because God made a covenant with him and always keeps his word. Every word that God speaks is a true word. Every word that God speaks is a word that will come to pass. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 24 and 25, if you would turn there with me, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 24 through 25. It reminds us that our hope rests in the holy word of God because everything else is passing away. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 24 through 25, it reads, for all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass wither and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is a word that was preached to you. Amen. The living word, the living sacrifice, the only begotten Son of the Father, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, is the word made flesh to which we graciously preach. And so, I ask you this morning, church, is it unreasonable? Is it unreasonable to give up the things that you used to love and learn what God loves and hates? Is it unreasonable to trust God when things get hard or when you don't know what to do? Is it unreasonable to ask God for wisdom when he tells us that he gives it generously to all without finding fault? Is it unreasonable to build your hopes on things eternal? Is it unreasonable to hold to God's unchanging hand in this ever-changing world? If you answered yes to any of these questions, I have a follow-up question for you. Are you viewing your reasonable service to your family as a heavy burden? But you don't have to answer this question because your actions will speak much louder than your words ever could. And as we finish with the last verse on this morning from the lesson text, we're going here on verse number 19. Verse 19, it says, for I have known, chosen, and acknowledged him as my own, so that he may teach and command his children and the sons of his household after him that keep the way of the Lord by doing what is righteous and just, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has promised him. The Lord has chosen Abraham to command his children and his children's children to follow and keep his holy word. The Lord knows Abraham will lead his family to do what is righteous and what is just. The purpose all points back to the covenant promise made with Abraham. But what if I told you, that the covenant didn't start with Abraham? Amen. God made a covenant with someone else. And if you want to know, if you really want to know where the promise actually originated, you must look to Abraham's great-grandfather, Noah. Amen. God made a covenant with Noah. Noah found grace with God. He hearkened unto the word of God. He built the ark out of gopher wood. He preached and he warned the people of the flood that would destroy the earth. He brought every living fish, two of every sort, made male and female. He brought male and female onto the ark, every fowl, every cattle, every creepy thing, and food for the journey. God promised Noah that if he would follow and keep his word, that all his children and all his family would be spared from destruction when the floods came upon the earth. And Noah, being obedient to the word of God, did all that God commanded him to do. Noah found it reasonable to obey God, amen? But fast forward to Abraham. The Lord is fulfilling his promise. The Lord shares with Abraham his plan of destruction that will come to Sodom and Gomorrah. We see the Lord revealing more of his character again in chapter 18, verses 20 through 21. Amen. The Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because the sins is very egregious, I will go down altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. Amen. As we continue with the final lesson question, why is our reasonable service necessary? Well, just like before the flood, God is aware of the wickedness that exists in the hearts of men. God brought the flood water previously to wash away the wickedness from the earth. But in the time of Abraham, God recognized that his covenant with Noah was still in effect. So the promise was to no longer flood the earth. And the sign for this was the rainbow. Amen. The sign for this is the rainbow. So why is our reasonable service necessary? Abraham drew near to the Lord and he asked, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? First, Abraham, he asked the Lord, if there were 50 righteous servants, would you destroy the righteous with the wicked? Then he went on to ask, if there were 45 righteous servants, would you destroy the righteous with the wicked? Then 40, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? Then 30, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? Then 20, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? Then 10, Lord, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? The Lord answered and said, I will spare all places for the righteous sake. Remember, Abraham has a nephew named Lot who has a family that lived in Sodom. Amen. Now watch this. The same men that visited Abraham went to Sodom to visit Lot. And Lot, in the same spirit, he did what he could to provide a reasonable service accommodation to the men who visited Abraham. But the only difference is the city was filled with wicked and evil men who tried to force themselves onto their visitors. But little did they know, the men, were angels of the Lord who were able to blind a wicked man who tried to intrude into Lot's house. Now, why is our reasonable service necessary? The angels were able to warn Lot and relay the message of destruction that was to come so that Lot could save his family. Don't miss it, church. Don't miss it. Please turn with me in your holy Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 7. We understand that Lot, he believed in the Lord. He trusted in the Lord. However, his life didn't really mirror that. He lived as an unbeliever, but he still believed in the Lord, had faith in the Lord. Amen. But we read here in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 7. By faith, Noah, when warned about the things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. But by faith, by his faith, he condemned the world and became heirs to the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. Amen. Was it unreasonable for God to keep his promise? We serve a God that is true to his word. He cares for his family. He was willing to sacrifice himself for his family because he loves his family. The angels warned Lot so that he would be able to escape the destruction of the Lord. The Lord warned Noah, and by faith he trusted God's plan. As mentioned previously, reasonable service is an active service done with a willing, voluntary attitude. Reasonable service is the rational, the sensible, the logical, or practical, spirit-empowered service guided by faith. When we recognize and when we consider our reasonable service onto our families, recognize that just as Noah, just as Abraham, and even just as Lot, we are all being called to holiness. Please turn with me in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. Peter says, and when you have it, please say amen. Peter says, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. Was it unreasonable for God to send his only begotten son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, to die for our sins? Was it unreasonable? Our reasonable service unto God is without reasonable doubt. We stand guilty as charged for the crimes of sin we commit and we committed against God. The evidence is overwhelming. We deserve punishment. But thank God for Jesus. Thank God for his matchless love. Thank God for his incomprehensible mercy. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verses 38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. Jesus said in John chapter 17, verses 23, John chapter 17, verses 23, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Jesus said in Matthew 20, verses 28, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verses 13, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 says that if a man says, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And as I close, recognize that our reasonable service unto our families is a reflection of our reasonable service unto God. And at the root of our reasonable service is the love of Christ that is renewed along with our hearts as we humbly submit to the will of God for our lives. And at this very moment, if you are not a member of the Lord's body and you're asking, what must I do to be forgiven of my sins? There is only one valid answer. In order to be saved, you must hear and obey the gospel. What is the gospel? Well, the gospel is the good news. Amen. And once you hear it, once you believe it, once you repent of your sins, once you confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and be baptized in his name for the forgiveness of sins, you will have eternal life. Here is the gospel. Listen carefully. Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the only begotten Son of God the Father, who died for the sins of the entire world, yours and mine. He died on the cross at Calvary, was buried in a borrowed tomb, and he rose from death in the grave on the third day, according to Scripture. That is the good news. That is the gospel truth. You cannot keep a good man down. Romans chapter 1, verses 16, the Apostle Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." The gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. The gospel of Jesus Christ still saves to this very day. Thank you, Lord. And the steps that one must take in order to obey the gospel is this. You must first hear the gospel. Romans chapter 10, verses 17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." You must believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 8, verses 37, and Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God." You must repent and turn away from all wickedness of all kind. Acts chapter 17, verses 30, "In the times of ignorance God winked at, but now command all men everywhere to repent." You must confess faith in Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven." And be baptized. And we're talking about baptism. It is not a sprinkling. It is full underwater submersion, and it's only done one time. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verses 38. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And be obedient unto death." Revelation chapter 2, verses 10, it says, "Fear none of those things that which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, and ye shall be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Now, on February 22nd, 2024, almost a year ago, there was a nationwide cellular outage. Major cell phone carriers such as Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, and Cricket, they were without service due to issues with power lines. Now, during this time, people in desperation, they dialed 911 to see if they could get anyone to pick up. But this inadvertently caused a bottleneck to many major cities and small towns. Moreover, for those in the professions of such as 911 operator, they received these calls at a high volume, and they were faced with the added task of deciphering the real emergencies from the others. Now, these major carriers, they were without phone service for 12 hours. Most of the time, people choose their respective phone carriers in hopes that they would provide them with a reasonable service for them and their families according to the standards that they promised. But I want to let you know that God has called you and I to higher standards of reasonable service, amen? Jesus Christ is the highest standard of reasonable service, because through his obedience to the Heavenly Father and his love towards us, he's the one that is actually reconciling us, and he redeems us and he restores us through his precious blood. And the final question that I have for you today is, will you provide your body as a living sacrifice? After all, it is your reasonable service, as we stand to sing the invitation song.